I'll fly a starship across the universe divide. And when I reach the other side, I'll find a place to rest my spirit if I can.
Welcome back to the Jeff Porch Show at FM Talk 106.5. Good Thursday morning to you. 251-343-0106. That's the text line. You want to respond to anything you are hearing on these airwaves, at least on this program, that is your best opportunity to do so. Still to come on the program in about a half hour or so, we'll hear from State Representative Andrew Sorrell, who will join us here in person at the Fairhope Bureau of FM Talk 106.5. But join us now. Very pleased to bring on my next guest. Always very kind with his time. Congressman Mo Brooks, running for United States Senate. Congressman, good morning. How are you?
Doing well. It's been a long couple of days. Yesterday, woke up about 3:50 to do my congressional baseball practice thing, flew home, then to Anniston, then to Hoover, then to Birmingham, then to Montgomery, and now in the Mobile Bay area.
Well, you're stopped down here, got a couple of public appearances. Tell us a little bit about them.
Well, I don't know what they are.
Well, you got the Eastern Shore Republican women coming up here in about an hour and a half.
Jeff,
and,
there are other people who control my schedule, and I end up going where they have me going. I think it was sometime after I gave a speech at breakfast in Fairhope that I found out I was going to be here with you next.
Well,
there's supposed to be a speech sometime, maybe two of them later today. That's an impression I have, but I'm not sure exactly where they are or with whom. And so wherever my wife, Martha and Tiffany Noel take me, that's what I'm doing next.
Just follow the leader there, right? And you got to say,
wait a minute. If you have my schedule, can you tell it to me?
You got Azalea City Women's Republican Club.
All right,
in Mobile.
Good organization. I look forward to it.
So y'all check that out if you have the opportunity. MSNBC last night. Maybe not quite as contentious as one might have expected with Chris Hayes, a guy he crossed paths with a long time ago in Washington, D.C. But I think people like to see you go on these maybe into these potentially hostile environments and mix it up with these guys.
Well, I believe that if you're going to be an elected official, particularly at the congressional level, whether you be in the House of Representatives or the United States Senate, you have to be willing to communicate. And there's an old saying that if you want to convert people to your belief system, you have to go where the unbaptized are. And certainly on MSNBC, there are not a lot of Republicans, there aren't a lot of conservatives, and so you have to be willing to go in that kind of environment in order to help them understand the error of their ways and that a better path is out there for their country, which means in turn themselves.
Well, and they, you know, I guess they wanted to get you on and you know, the eve of the January 6th committee hearings, and it was going to be a real get, but you just kind of stuck to your guns there on that. And I mean, to sit here today, we look at the whole January 6th episode, you seem to be... Is there anything you would have done differently knowing what you know now?
Yeah, I didn't realize the sound system was so good at the Ellipse, so I probably would not have been as loud. I mean, the volume, the decibel level. But see, I'm looking at a crowd that's hundreds of yards away, and I don't know how good the sound system is. Down in Alabama, you have a crowd that far away, you better speak loud or else they won't hear you.
Yeah, I
that's about it. The content of it, I thought, was a very good rally speech. Certainly the folks that did hear me, they were cheering. They were voicing their approval. Apparently the news media picked up on it a little bit. So, no, I'm proud of the speech that I gave on the Ellipse. I wouldn't hesitate to do it again.
Well, you see that and you think, you know, they're making it out to be like you inspired all that. But
well, that's garbage.
We think that was going to probably something like that. I hate to say it, Congressman, but I think that event was going to happen if you had spoken. Well, I don't hate to say it, but if you'd spoken or not, there was something kind of percolating there.
Okay. Let's eliminate any ambiguity. The attack on the Capitol was planned days or weeks in advance.
Right.
So the attack on the Capitol was planned days and weeks in advance of the speeches at the Ellipse. So the speeches at the Ellipse had nothing to do with the planning of the attack on the Capitol that had begun long before the speeches were given. It's as simple as that. All of the investigative material that I'm familiar with reaches that same conclusion, and perhaps the best evidence that the public is familiar with was the pipe bombs that were planted the day before the attack on the United States Capitol, and then the pipe bombs at the Republican headquarters and Democrat headquarters were called in at or about or immediately before the time in which the attack on the Capitol began, with the strategic purpose being to divert some of our Capitol police officers away from the Capitol to where those pipe bombs were, thereby weakening our defenses at the United States Capitol. That had nothing to do with what occurred at the Ellipse. We had some militant elements that were wanting to create a ruckus, and they did. And that had nothing to do with the Ellipse speeches. And we've got a federal judge appointed by Barack Obama, so he's not a right-wing judge.
Right.
And he looked at all the evidence. This was in the Fang boyfriend, Eric Swalwell, lawsuit against me. And he looked at all the evidence, and he concluded that there was, quote, excuse me, no, quote, plausible, quote, argument that could be advanced that my remarks had anything to do with the attack on the Capitol. That pretty well resolves it. That's a federal court judge who's looked at all the evidence as opposed to the shallow talking heads on MSNBC, CNN, and all the others.
Do you think we'll ever really know why Pelosi called them down or whatever she had? Do you think we'll ever know that side of the backstory? Where was the speaker? What did the speaker know? Because they're protecting her, but someday will that ever come out, or is this just?
Are you talking about what Nancy Pelosi could have done to beef up our defenses?
Right.
I don't know if we'll ever find out, because the witch hunt committee is not really interested in finding out how the Democrats may or may not have been responsible because of our weakened Capitol defenses relating to the Capitol attack. But in all fairness to Nancy Pelosi, I think all of us were caught off guard. I don't know of any congressman or senator that had ever even thought that this might happen. In the time that I've been in the United States Congress, we've had a lot of animated protests outside the United States Capitol, or perhaps outside the United States Supreme Court building, which is right across the street.
Right.
And that's not that abnormal. Now, this crowd was big, but it never occurred to me that there'd be any violence related to it. Not maybe other than the kind of pushy things that you get when you get different groups of people, different ideological beliefs, where they holler at each other and they might throw an egg or something like that. No one that I'm aware of had any inkling that there would be the kind of attack on the Capitol that there was on January the 6th. And I would have to include Nancy Pelosi in that umbrella.
Your colleague Jerry Carl told us that, you know, the lead up, that the Capitol Police are saying, just watch out that day. Maybe don't walk to work that day.
Yeah.
Were you hearing the same thing?
Yeah, but it was because the information I was given was because of potential threats by Black Lives Matter and Antifa.
Right. That's what
okay.
We're here too.
And so that's why I wore a bulletproof vest when I was traveling the mile and a half to the Ellipse to give my speech. And then I traveled back with my bulletproof vest on. And once I got to the Capitol, I took it off, where the actual violence occurred. It never occurred to me, and I don't know of anybody else that it ever occurred to, that there would actually be an attack of that magnitude on the United States Capitol.
That stuff with you and the bulletproof vest is such a weak talking Cameron Smith style talking point. We won't even take it any further there. Let's talk about your Senate race right now, how things look. This has been kind of my take thus far. It seems kind of slow rolling. I expected about a week lag after the primary, and then it just to really get, you know, back to maybe not the level it was right before the primary, but at least some semblance of it. But it doesn't seem like I you know, the Brent guys got their ads and their PAC ads, but it doesn't seem as we're being as inundated with a lot of this heading into this runoff.
They must have count you down as an already decided how you're going to vote person, because there are mailers going out all over the state in multiple numbers. We get copies of them. There are a lot of different mailers that the Brit camp is attacking me on, as always. They are brazenly dishonest in their attack ads. I'll give you an example. Mo Brooks got $2 million from the federal government, as if there was some kind of undue influence. That's my salary over the long period of time that I've served. That's the same salary that Katie Britt would get. Okay, but it's evil. It's almost like attacking Social Security recipients when you add up all the money they've gotten during their senior years and say, look at the influence that got them that money. Okay, they try to turn innocent things into evil-appearing things, and they continue with this attack line that somehow or another I supported property taxes or income tax increases or sales taxes, and I've done none of that. They're just lying through their teeth, but they can get away with it because they got the money, so they continue to do it. They know that I don't have the money to wrap that around their necks and reveal the truth and hang them with their own false statements.
Let's talk about the last month's primary, and you said this very right out of the gate. I think the day after, they're Democrat crossover votes, and Democrats coming to vote for Katie Britt, and that might be at least in part, I think, why she far out exceeded the polling there. But
I believe that is the primary cause.
Really,
that might be the sole cause.
Well, tell me this, though, about that. Should Alabama have close primaries?
Absolutely. And the Alabama Republican Party, if they had the gumption, couldn't insist on it. Under the United States Constitution, First Amendment, there are plenty of federal decisions about this. The political party has the absolute right. Nothing the state can do to the contrary. The political party has the absolute right to determine who its own political nominees are going to be. Now, the strategy that the Alabama Republican Party should use, if you have a legislature that doesn't want to cooperate, say, okay, no primaries. The Alabama Republican Executive Committee is going to determine all of our state nominees and have each local county executive committee determine all of our local nominees until such time as we have a closed primary. You'd be surprised at how fast the legislature would pass a closed primary law if they had to face the executive committee to determine whether they're going to keep their jobs as legislators, whether they're going to get the nomination. And there are other states that have done that kind of thing, like Utah has a convention first. That's the way that their executive committee decided to do it. And you only have a primary system if someone does not get the threshold vote that is needed to be the presumptive Republican nominee. So, yeah, the Republican Party, if we're going to be a political party, not a social club, we should determine who we believe best reflects our ideological belief system. That's what the First Amendment's all about.
Do you think that changes a lot of these races up and down the ballot?
Of course it does. We won't have so many rhinos and so many Democrats elected as Republicans.
Because if you look at, and this is kind of my take on Alabama government right now, Alabama is a conservative state, but the Alabama Republican Party as a whole, as from top to bottom, from governor to dog catcher, not as conservative as the state.
You mean the elected officials?
Right.
Our elected officials are much more liberal than the Alabama Republican Party, and our elected officials, particularly at the state legislative level, are beholden to the special interests much more so than they are to the Republican Party's belief system, and that's why the Alabama legislature has done so poorly reflecting the beliefs of the Alabama Republican Party and what we believe is in the best interest of our state and country.
I mean, it's not a woke leftist sort of entity, but it is. It goes in a direction of being too government is a solution to your problems. Number one, but number two, the sort of corporatist, maybe pro big business Republican Party. That you don't match that up with Alabama, at least from a brand perception, but that is what the reality is.
Exactly. Let me use as an example the broad field of moral values issues. Because the Business Council of Alabama and other special interest groups care more about profit than principle, and because they carry such financial weight in elections with the money that they contribute, the Alabama legislature has been wholly unsuccessful in a number of major moral values issues like Common Core over the years, like whether a man who pretends to be a woman can use women's restrooms or men's restrooms. All those issues we've been unsuccessful for a number of years over because the Alabama Republican Party does not control who our nominees are in the legislative election process. And we should be doing that if we're going to be a political party. Now, if we're going to be a social club, anything goes. Democrats can vote in our primaries. Independents can vote in our primaries. But if we're going to be a political party, then we need to be nominating people who adhere to the belief system that collectively we believe in.
Well, what do you think it's that you have so many Democrats left over from the one-party era? And you lived through this. You were like the handful of members in the legislature that were Republican. But that they just switch parties and they never let go of some of those quote-unquote Democratic Party ideals.
Spot on.
And you look from top to bottom. I mean, I'm not just picking on the legislature here, but you
could start with Richard Shelby at the top as United States Senator. He, out of eight Republicans from Alabama, he's the only one who voted for Joe Biden on January the 6th. If you recall, he was instrumental, he and Katie Britt, in helping to elect Doug Jones in 2017, to the point where Doug Jones credited that strategy with his victory. I've got a news article right here where Doug Jones is heavily quoted about that strategy making the difference in his having won or lost. Then you've got whether illegal aliens can require a proof of citizenship before they demand to be registered to vote. Richard Shelby voted for the National Voter Registration Act, in which Section 5 makes it illegal for our voter registrars to require proof of citizenship when a non-citizen demands to be registered to vote. The law should be the exact opposite. The law should be you have to show proof of citizenship. But instead, we've got a law on the books at the federal level that the 10th Circuit Court of Appeals has approved and ratified and supported that makes it illegal for the states to require proof of citizenship. That's nuts. Okay, so we've got people who love spending money, the debt junkie types that give us the $30 trillion debt. That's not the belief system of the Alabama Republican Party, as I understand it. Yet, because of our open primary system, boom, we get people who don't adhere to our belief system becoming our nominees, particularly when you have the Democrats participating in our primaries, much like they did on May 24th and much like they may do on June 21st.
All right, guys, we got to get a break in here. We'll pick it back up with Congressman Brooks on the other side, so stay tuned for that. This is the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5.
Do just fine. But I still love rock and roll. I keep on rolling. He asked me how I bought it. I told him on credit. Daddy just smiled. I'll never forget it.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Thursday morning, 55 minutes after the hour. Still with us for just a few more minutes. We got him, Congressman Mo Brooks, running for the United States Senate. Let's talk about your opponent, Katie Britt, and the Wade Perry remarks, I guess, on social media, saying that she was instrumental or whatever it was he said in Doug Jones, and then he credited her for the gas tax and infrastructure. People think maybe he was kind of trolling there, but what was your takeaway from that statement?
That Wade Perry, the executive director of the Democratic Party, who was also Doug Jones's campaign manager, was telling the truth. That the Democrats believe that Katie Britt is awesome, that the Democrats believe and think the world of her, that Katie Britt was, quote, super helpful, end quote, in electing Doug Jones in 2017, for which the Democrats are very helpful. And that even the Democrats understand that she just has to, quote, say, end quote, certain things in order to win a Republican primary. The Democrats have figured it out. I pray that the Republicans will, too.
We'll see. Like you said, that goes back to the whole discussion we just had about closed primaries. And real quick, we got Rand Paul coming to Alabama, I believe, on Friday. He's going to do a stop at Birmingham and one at Huntsville. But you seem to have gotten you've won the favor of those guys, Ted Cruz as well. Tell us a little bit about that and your relationship with Rand Paul.
Rand Paul is a libertarian Republican to a large degree, not 100%. He believes in liberty and freedom. I've been endorsed by Freedom Works, which is also a liberty and freedom organization. They see the dangers, both Rand Paul and Freedom Works, of putting in another establishment, Mitch McConnell, rhino type of Republican that the Democrats apparently prefer, Katie Britt being the Democrat nominee in the Republican primary. And we'll see how it plays out. But I'm very thankful that Ted Cruz and Rand Paul have seen fit to assist in this election. They understand the stakes, not only for Alabama, but for America.
And you think if you get elected to the Senate, that's kind of going to be where you're going to try to that's going to be your caucus or your crowd there where you'll
absolutely except that I want us to have one of them, one of the conservatives who are principled, as the leader of the Republican caucus in the Senate. We need to ditch Mitch. That's a big position difference between myself and Katie Britt. She loves Mitch McConnell. I don't. I think we can do better, and we should.
Well, she is kind of, I don't indicated that at least we need new leadership. What do you think of those guys like the Rick Scotts and the John Thunes? Are they acceptable in your mind?
Compared to Mitch McConnell, yes. Compared to some others, I have more of a preference for a Ron Johnson, a Ted Cruz, a Rand Paul, a Josh Hawley, Mike Lee, some of the conservative senators in the United States Senate that better reflect the values of the Alabama Republican Party and who do what is necessary to beat the challenges we as a country face.
Real quick, website.
MoBrooks.com if you want to help. MoBrooks.com, folks. It's your country, June 21st, 12 days.
We got to get the break. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.